and this morning as well. If you go to your Bible, I want to talk about the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, during this time of season, this Christmas season. And, you know, everything's a Christmas message around here. It's everything's of God, everything's good, amen. And every year I wrestle with what kind of fancy sermon could I bring up, something you've never heard before. And so, I want to read something that will teach us something about the Lord. So let's go, I'm going to go down here to, let us go to Luke 2, 25 and 27 in the witness section. I think I gave you, if you just scroll down a little bit, I want to read something at least for our Christmas season, so we're going to be understanding. So let me just show you what I want to do, and you'll find out soon. After, I don't know if I'm making sense. Am I making sense, Jerry? Are you not sure? Okay. Can you check Jerry too, if you're? Let's go to Luke 2, 25 and 27. I'm reading the New Living Translation here. There's a man by the name of Simeon. Simeon was given a revelation by the Holy Spirit that Jesus was coming. And he was waiting a long, long time. And I want to tie this into our Christmas message. Plus, I want to speak on the Spirit of leading us. So we've been having a series called Witness, the Witness of the Spirit. So there was a man by the name of Simeon. Let's go to verse 25, Luke 2, 25 and 27. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout, and he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come to rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Understand, in the Old Testament, not until Jesus died and he was at the right hand of the Father that he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit resided in people after that he was risen and people got born again. I don't know if you recall when Jesus came and visited his disciples in John chapter 20, and he appeared to his 12 disciples, and he said he had risen, and he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We believe in Scripture. This was the very time that they got the first time anybody was born again, because he was risen from the dead. No one was born again, or let me just explain it this way: no one had the Holy Spirit inside of them, or he could not be a temple of the Holy Spirit until Jesus was risen from the dead, then people could actually be born again, because he paid the price for our way into heaven. And so the Bible says here in verse 20, was it 25, the Holy Spirit was upon him. So the Holy Spirit came upon him in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit could come upon an individual, but did not reside inside of them. Now, everybody in the world, everybody, whether you're born again or not, if you're a Christian, whether you're Muslim, no matter what you are, the Holy Spirit is right there beside that person, trying to guide them into a place where they can receive Jesus Christ. No matter who you are, the Holy Spirit is here on earth. He's with everybody, but he's not in everybody. And those that God uses in the kingdom of God, and in the Old Testament, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and he would empower them to do certain things. And they would get to know certain things. So, this man Simeon, as we read on here, says that verse 26, it was upon him and he had revealed to him, everybody say revealed. So the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. How many people know that God can prepare you for your last days here? God can show you that it doesn't have to be a surprise to you. You can know that if you're close to God, you can know when you're going to be leaving this world. We see this in the New Testament, that God can prepare you so that you can leave here and have all your bills paid. Or whatever you're going to do, prepare yourself. It's hard looking at the crowd when there's a lot of people here this morning, because usually there's, you know, everybody's scattered. You're a little bit closer together today as family. Okay, so so you smile once in a while. Okay, so verse 27 says, that day the Spirit led him to the temple. Everybody say, the Spirit led him. Say, the Spirit revealed to him. So he revealed to him. No, the Spirit was upon him. The Spirit revealed to him. And the Spirit led him. He led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, you saw right here this morning that these families brought this child to present to the Lord. This was what Mary was doing and Joseph doing, bringing Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord. This is what you guys did. Where's that? Oh, you have a family in the back. Okay, this is what you guys did. You present. And so you have to understand, I'm going to show you something here. It's so important that to see this. Now, in verse 27, it says that this Simeon was led. The Spirit of God was upon him. It revealed to him something, a message. And that also that he led him to the temple. How many people can say amen to the fact that God can lead you? He can lead you to the temple too, or church. He can lead you to church too. Amen? God can lead you to the right temple, not just any temple. What if Simeon said, I don't know what temple to go to? Amen? So you have to understand here, Simeon was led to the temple, and Mary and Joseph came to the temple at a certain time, at a certain moment, at a certain second, at a certain hour. See, God can lead you very, very, you know, just in steps to the right people at the right time. Isn't that wonderful that God can lead us to the right people at the right time? And so our lives are not, you know, haphazard. We just didn't bump into each other. We're put together for a reason. And Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 18 that God put the church together as it pleased him. So you're in church here this morning because God put you here. Not because your brother is here. That's good reason. But he's here too because God put him here. How many people know that's a good idea? So Jerry's here because God brought him here. Now, Jerry and I knew each other for years, but he kind of went for a little exit for a while and came back at a certain time. And he said to me, when I first saw him after many years, he said to me, he gave me a story about, I can't remember exactly what he did. He said, Jerry, do you remember what you said? I don't want to put words in your mouth. Okay, so he said he had resentment. I never knew he had resentment against me, but he told me, now I know. No, and then what happened?
Then you didn't respond.
I didn't respond, okay. Okay, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So Jerry came. So Jerry was led back to the Lord here. I mean, Jerry came and brought his wife. You know, I watched this family here. You have a small family. You have one dog at home, right? But I could see them developing in the Lord. They're happy, and God brought them together. I'm sorry I could have married you, but Pastor Ken did a good job. So, yeah, because I had been away at that time. So let's do it again. We can do it again. But, you know, the Lord leads you, you know, at the right time, at the right place, with the right people. And I believe that some people are missing out on God because they're missing relationships that they should when they didn't listen to God. They're being they're at the right, wrong time. I heard Brother Moore say this. He said, you know, some people, you know, they're going to another church where they shouldn't have been going to a church, but God was leading. They were led by tradition, not by the Holy Spirit. And so he said one person, you know, he was going to another place where he shouldn't have been going, and he was at a stop sign and a truck hit him. How many people know it's good to be at the right place at the right time so the truck wouldn't hit you? I think that we could avoid accidents, avoid tragedies, if we follow God more closely. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God led Simeon at the right time when this couple, Mary and Joseph, were coming in to dedicate the baby, and the Spirit of God led him there at the right time. You know, and so we can see this Christmas, we can thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can thank Him that He's leading us and He's guiding us. The Bible says that He is. Now let's go and see what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit before we'll finish that one scripture up here. Verse 27. Is it verse 27? And prompted by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, this is what the Amplified says. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, He came into the temple enclosed. And when the parents brought the little child to Jesus, to do for him what was customary according to the law. So we see that he was prompted by the Spirit. You know, God can lead you on the inside. You just have a sense that you have to go a certain direction or do certain things or not do certain things on the inside of inside by your Spirit. It's good now that the Spirit of God is on every one of us. You know, in the Old Testament, that the Spirit would come upon certain people and give everybody direction, like the prophet would come upon, but the Holy Spirit would come upon the Holy Spirit would come upon a prophet, and he would give a word to the people. But under the new, everybody say new. Under the new covenant, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the prophets, said in foreknowledge that the Holy Spirit would reside in each person, that we would all be inhabited by the Spirit of God. In other words, Jesus, the Father, and Jesus lives inside us by the person of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. And He's here right now. The Spirit of God is here right now. The Holy Ghost is here. Jesus, who healed the sick, is here right now. And people in this room can be healed today from different things. He can lead you and guide you and direct you to where you should. And that's why we should pray regularly the prayer of dedication ourselves, submission to God, our dedicating our lives and consecrating our lives or whatever resources we have to God, so that God can make use of us and use of our resources that He's given us. It's wonderful, isn't it? People would say, well, praise God, that's wonderful. That's nice, isn't that nice? Pastor said that. That's pretty good. But it's real true. The Holy Ghost is here. You know, God's everywhere. He's everywhere. You cannot go where God isn't. It's amazing. Some of you say He's so huge, He fits everywhere. But He's also small that He can fit inside you. How could that be? I don't know. But He lives inside of us. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to go back to the page here. If we could go back to the page. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, 14 to 16. That's my message for Christmas. So this is all a Christmas message. So Romans 8, 14 and 16. Everybody say, it seems good. So you know, you have something called a seems good on the inside of you, and the Bible talks about a seems good experience that God will lead you by a seems good experience. You know, it seems good. I should go to church this morning. Sometimes you just say, "Well, not today." Why? Oh, it's not Christmas morning. Your flesh will tell you. Nah, don't go. You're going to be missed out this morning. You can watch cartoons. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody watches cartoons anymore. You can take cartoons anywhere. But when I was a kid, the only cartoons only happened only on a certain moment, a certain day, on a Saturday. But now cartoons every day. All, you know, just you just turn it on and you watch all day long. How many people remember Much Music? And the videos. We used to watch videos all the time, you know, Much Music. And then you get tired of it after. And now you can watch it anytime you want. But now you don't watch it because some of you got saved and thought all this music is not that good for you. So only the 70s is good. 70s, no, the 60s. How about back there, 60s maybe? Yeah, 60s. Okay, all right. Okay, so anyway, and sometimes Maxine would put on little 70s. She broadcast it on her Facebook. She said, we're just listening to 70s right now. You know, you missed your call. You should have been a good disc jockey. This is Maxine on 007, Kern River, on your radio dial. Coming up next is the Bee Gees. It's 49 degrees outside, Fahrenheit. Coming to you live from a porta potty in Kern River. All right. Sorry for you guys that are really religious about this stuff. But anyway, this is supposed to be a Christmas message. We will clean this up. So anyway, did you find Romans 8:14? Okay. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What do we get from the scripture is saying that sons of God, those that are born again, children of God, can be led by the Holy Spirit, or should be led by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Remember fear? When you allow fear in your life, when you let fear come in, you're in bondage. A bondage to what people think of you, whatever. Fear of making a mistake. Fear of not succeeding, whatever it is. So it keeps you in captivity. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself, the word, it says itself, but the correct rendering is himself. The Holy Spirit is not an it, so it says the Spirit himself, the King James got it wrong there, bears witness. Notice that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The word witness in that verse of Scripture means to testify, to reveal, to tell the truth. So we know that anybody that comes to a court, right, they have to tell the truth. If you sit in a box, they put you in a box there, tell you, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, not but the truth to help you, God? Yes, I do. And so you have to tell the truth. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he's a testifier. He'll tell you the truth. He'll tell you stuff that perhaps sometimes we don't like to hear. And he'll tell you to do things or whatever. So he says that this spirit will bear witness with our spirit. In the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that he is actually a co-witness. A co-witness. In other words, your spirit and the Holy Spirit, you'll get to know what to do in your spirit by God himself will speak to you. But the Holy Spirit will come up around, he'll come and he'll amen what you know from God. Because you know God after you're born again, you're now in God. Your God's in you and you're in him, Bible says. And you know instinctively what to do because God's in you if you pay attention to it. If you don't, you'll miss God. And you'll just follow this only, the top, your head, or this. It's called your flesh. How many people know that your body is not born again? And your head is not born again. So people get all upset when people say things about them on Facebook. And you know what the Dr. Summerall said? Other people's head is not a place to look for your destiny. You need to look to God. Amen? So God is the one we look to and look to his word. So now let's go to read. So he bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the first thing the Holy Spirit will show you when he comes inside you, he will tell you you belong to God, you're a child of God, you're born again, you're saved. He'll show you that and he'll give you such joy. I don't know about you, but how many people, when you got born again, you were so happy? Let me see your hand if that's you. Yeah, you're just so happy. Man, I walked around, my cousin told me, you know, he got saved. He lived on the street over here. And he's using drugs every day, drinking every day, and doing whatever he can every day. And he got happy. He said he came to our church. God led him to our church. And he got born again. Then he said he kept coming to church. And he said he had a big smile on his face. And he said he would meet his friends on the street there over in Secord Street. And their boys are coming there with, you know, their big tough boys. And then he said, I'm laughing and just smiling away. I did not want to let them know that I was laughing. I'm smiling. I'm just so happy. Because, you know, he didn't want to get beaten up because he thought that they might think I'm laughing at them. Because he said, I'm so happy. And so what happens when you're saved, that happens to you. You get so happy and you know you're joined up with God now. You know you're saved. You know if you die today, you're going to go to heaven. It's not maybe. It's you're going for sure. That's a wonderful thing to have every day of your life, to know that you're saved. If you die tonight, to know that you're born again, that you're saved. And so this is the first thing that God will show you is by the witness you belong to God. Then thereafter, it's the same way he'll show you things, just the way he showed you you're born again, is the same way he'll show you how to make decisions in life. You got that? Okay. Verse 26 of Romans 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, ghost is a, you know, an old term of English term about spirit, right? The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Let me read this in the Amplified Bible, because the word comforter has a sevenfold meaning that gives us, you know, what we need to understand today. But the helper, this is Amplified, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, will teach you all things and help you remember everything I've told you. On the inside of you, you have a counselor. I want to show you, for instance, my wife said to me, honey, we need our marriage license. And I know you were fiddling with all the photos the other last few months because of our 30th anniversary, so I was looking in photos, and so we had a huge fight, man. And she was winning. I was on the bottom. She says to me, it was very, very difficult. So she said to me, it's got to be you. And she was trying not to accuse me, but at the same time, she was accusing me. Because I said, it's got to be the girls. It's got to be Hannah. Because she makes crafts all the time, takes those pictures. Or Natasha was drawn here. She might have took that. She might have went downstairs, put it somewhere. So we had this thing, and we thought maybe Josh took it because he was in that room over there. So we just blamed. We went everywhere, even blamed the dogs because the dogs could chew things up. So anyway, we got to the place. We said, okay. You know, we're just about to split up that morning. I'm joking. Okay, so anyway, we had this thing, going, and so anyway, I said to the Lord, you know, I'm teaching on this, you know. The Holy Ghost will teach you all things. And the Lord said to me, why don't you start asking me questions? I said, yeah, Lord, where is it? It's got to be here somewhere. And so, every time I thought of Hannah, I'm going to just tell her what I think. And of course, we're, you know, going through the whole thing emotionally. So I said, Lord, it's got to be here somewhere. You can show it to me. So I just felt this. It's here somewhere. I don't know where it is. So I kept coming back, looking everywhere, and telling her if she found it. So we went everywhere. So I would come to the office and everything. And so I went back upstairs and said, the Holy Spirit said, just look in here. In this room here, it's a closet with all kinds of stuff in it, under the very bottom of this closet, there's stuff like pile high. Was the very thing that we were looking for. How did it get there? But the Holy Spirit knows. And He'll teach you, show you things that you need to know when you ask Him to do certain things. No, that's just a little thing. Now, I wanted to practice what I preach. So He'll show you for lost items. I've had lost items that I found. Some of you have said the same thing, or the Holy Ghost will tell you, lock your door. There are thieves in Kern River. And so anyway, you lock your car door. But sometimes my car opens up when I walk by it. Anybody have that problem? There's some defect or something. Anyway. But the Holy Ghost, He's a comforter. He's an advocate. He's an intercessor. He'll help you pray out things. So He'll be there inside you, helping you in this day and hour. So the Bible tells us that God will lead all of His children by His Spirit. The foremost way He will lead you is by the inward witness. Like some people look for, a vision, a dream, a voice in the nighttime, a cloud, a pillar cloud of smoke. I fell into a trance. Different things that God will lead me. No, those are spectacular ways. God does that. We see that in the Bible. But He doesn't promise you that He'll lead you by the gifts of the Spirit. Like the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. God promises you. God, or Jesus did. He promises that Holy Ghost, He's going to be inside you. He's going to help you. He's going to lead you. He's going to lead you. And He's going to direct your life if we just listen to Him. So Jesus promised guidance. Everybody said, Jesus promised guidance. So, our wonderful Savior, our Lord, our gift to the world, Jesus, He will guide you and lead you and teach you by His Holy Spirit. He says, Jesus was the only comforter the disciples had. At the beginning, but at the end of His life there, when He was leaving, He said to them, I'm going away. And they were sad. The disciples were sad. But He promised them. He said, wait a minute. I'm going to send somebody just like me. He's called the Holy Ghost. And He's coming. And He will lead you. And He'll guide you through all your lifetime. And now let's go here at John 16:13. He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own, but He will tell you what He has heard. He will show you about the future. Thank God that we're not in the dark about the future. Someone wrote to me, sometimes people write to me and they ask me questions about spiritual things, about concerns they have. Somebody said, it's going to be the end of the world and Jesus is coming soon, whatever. I said, don't worry about that. They're afraid of the vaccine. They told me, are you going to take the vaccine? I said, well, you going to give one out today? Are you afraid of the vaccine? I said, I'm not afraid of no vaccine. I never took a vaccine in my life. But I should start taking one. They said, after you're 64, you should take one. But I don't know. I'll have to make a mistake. I said, I'll let Prime Minister Trudeau and those guys take it first, and then I'll take mine after that. They might give them something different, eh? They're not. But anyway. How many of you are taking the vaccine? Let me see your hand. Some of you? Nobody's saying nothing. I'm not going to say that. I'm not saying anything. And they're saying to me, if you take the vaccine, they're going to set you up, man. They're going to use you, little old you, the Chinese people are, or the Russians or whatever. They're taking over the world. And besides this, the beast is coming. And he's coming to get you. And you can't buy any food and gas and so on unless you get, he said, they're going to put this chip in you through this vaccine. Man, that's good science mind right there. Pretty good. I don't know, anyway. You know, we've got to trust our medical people. Come on now, don't put them down. You know, we've got to trust them, right? To a degree. Don't just let anybody shove anything in your arm. So the Holy Ghost is, he's in us, but he's not in the world. He's here, but he's not working in the world. He's working in our lives. So how does he talk to us? How does he speak to us? How does he guide us? Well, the Bible says he bears witness with our hearts. That's what he does. And so you have to know, everybody in this room, you're going to have to know what the witness is. Turn to your neighbor and ask, tell them, what's the witness? Okay. So he's going to put inside you the witness. There's people make decisions. They make a decision and they go on a long journey for 10 years, 20 years, because they got off on God and they just went off, right, Jerry? We talked. And so he went off over there, and maybe you incurred things happened to you, you shouldn't have gone, but Holy Spirit didn't want you to have. And so, but God wants to lead you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, that God wants to lead you into a good life. And there's nothing but blessings where he wants to lead you. And there's going to be a lot of prevention, roadblocks for you to go where God wants you to go, but there's going to be roadblocks and temptations and troubles so that, you know, you can't go where God wants you to go. And that's why you need the Holy Spirit. The Bible said one thing about him, he's our strengthener. He will strengthen you to go forward to wherever he wants you to go. He'll strengthen you when everything else is coming against you. Thank God for that. Amen? He is in us. So there's something that he does inside you. And people think it's absurd that God can talk to us individually and collectively. God can speak to every one of us in our hearts. Now, everybody knows that. You know, you mean to say God talks to you? Well, yeah, he does. Bible talks about it. Don't you ever read your Bible? He says, he'll speak to you. Jeremiah said he'll be in every heart. The prophet Ezekiel said that Holy Ghost will be inside of us and he'll recreate our spirits and make us brand new. So he's inside you right now. And so what's happened is we haven't been acquainted with him like we should have to get to know him a little bit more, to show us where the photo album is that I lost, you know, something like that. So people think you're strange. But it's not a problem for us because God is speaking to us. He's talking to people, and people are not listening, though. That's the problem. They're not listening. They're not paying attention. They're not listening to that. You know, here's something that people say in the world. They're not even Christian. They never read the Bible, but they say, you know, I had a hunch. I had a hunch I should have done this. I had something in me. They say, something in me told me not to do that or go here. That something is the Spirit of God telling us what to do. And so he is speaking to us. You know, our lives would be a whole lot peaceful, a whole lot happier, a whole lot secure when God's in it. You know, I've never had a problem with my wife, like as far as, you know, we got married. You know, we have some kind of disagreements, like the photo album. But I've never come to a place in my life where I felt my wife's going to leave me, ever, never. I didn't feel like she's going to cheat on me, going to lie to me, well, maybe one time, or do me wrong, or I don't have to perform to do something to be somebody else. I just have to be myself. I don't have to fight with her to come to church. So some people have to fight with their husband to come to church. No, I want to go to church. I don't have to fight with her to go to church. She wants to come to church. Or I'm not embarrassed that I speak in tongues in front of her. I'm not afraid that to write a check and give it out to somewhere. She said, amen, let's go ahead and give it. You know, all these things that are important to me as a Christian, we have this relationship. I don't have to be afraid. But if I was not a Christian, if she was not a Christian, there would be something here, or we were imbalanced in certain areas. It's good to be equally yoked together. That we believe the same thing. We have the same value about stuff. And it's good to know that when you're connected with someone that God connects you with, it's going to be a whole lot better. Amen? And so that's why it's good to have the peace of God inside you like that, leading you. And one of the things about we learned about this, well, you know, time's running on us, but, you know, there's something called the peace of God that will lead you. Let's go look at a couple of scriptures, and then we'll shut her down. So we're going to look at something here. So people, God knows everything. How many people know that God knows everything? He knows everything. He knows how you feel. Jesus knows how you feel. He knows what's going on inside you. He knows your hurts. He knows your pains. But he can't do anything about it unless you allow him to work in your life. Amen? So, we talked about something here, Luke. Can you go back to Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1, verse 3. Luke chapter 1, verse... Yeah, we'll go to 1 to 3 here. For much as many have taken in hand and set forth a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good. Everybody say, it seemed good. To me also, having had a perfect understanding of these things from the very first, to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, verse 3 tells us this Luke had a seems good experience to write a letter to a man by the name of Theophilus. According to my knowledge, he was not born again. He was not saved. He's not a Christian. But he was going to write a letter to him. So he had that in his heart it just seemed like a good idea to write him a letter, to write this guy a letter. Now we have a Bible. We have a in the book called Book of Luke. And he wrote this letter. And this is how God will lead you and direct your life, is by that, on the inside of you, that nice feeling that, you know, this is what we need to do. By the Holy Spirit to lead you. And there's just something on the inside of you. It's called that witness. It seems good to do this. It seems this is the right thing to do. So we see the purpose that he wrote this book. You know, the purpose why he wrote it is because of a seems good reason. That's why he wrote it. And he gave us all this information that we need today. So if you go to Book of Acts chapter 15, 22 to 28, very quickly, I want to show you something. The Bible says in verse 22, this is Luke writing in the book of Luke. My wife told me, did some research. She said the book of Luke and the book of Acts were actually just one writing. That's what I understood. So we could be mixed up, but Luke wrote both of those. Now he said something over here. Luke was writing, and he's talking about, you know, the disciples making decisions. I know that we have to make decisions, but you don't have to make decisions on your own. You have people around you that know God and can say amen to what you're doing. And if you're making the decision and other people around you saying, man, you better check that out. He said, no, I don't want to check that out. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to marry him anyway. You better check that out. I said, you better check that out. I said, you better check that out. Well, three people. I can't get anybody more to say, but I'm going to tell you. I know I've said to people, talked to people, I said, you know what? Hey, listen, I know I love you. You trust me. I'm going to tell you, don't do this. They said, never. I love him. Praise God. Anyway, we won't even talk about that. We don't even remember saying that. It says there, verse 22, then it pleased. Now, that word pleased, in the original language, says it seemed good. Then it pleased or seemed good to the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men. Now, Luke had a seemed good, feeling to write a letter. These guys here had a seemed good to choose certain men to do certain things for the ministry. Now, it wasn't just one person there. It tells us there it seemed good to the apostles and elders and to the whole church to send chosen men of their own company. And they send these men, these two people called Barnabas and Paul and Barnabas. Then we see here in another version, it said it seems good to the apostles and elders. The World English Bible, different versions tells us, it gives us that expression, it seemed good to do this. So, Acts 15:25, it says, it seemed good to us being assembled to choose these certain men. So, we all will have that experience on the inside of us when we're doing something that, you know what, hey, this is, man, you can just sense that inside of you. Oh, this has got to be an opportunity. This is what we have to do. Now, here's the problem. When it comes to that, we're made out of three parts, right? We're basically spiritual and natural people. We're spiritual and we're natural people. We all have three parts of us. We have physical bodies. You know, we all have physical bodies, and we also have a soul. We have a mentality. We have emotions. We have a thought life. That's called a soul. Then we have the spirit part of us, which is the eternal part of us is the spirit part. And so what we have a problem, we have a fight sometimes making decisions about our inward person and our outward person, and we're trying to make a decision. So this is where maturity has to happen. Everybody say maturity. So maturity has to happen where you have to say no sometime to your flesh or your mentality or your emotions. You don't just make decisions based on emotion alone or just finances alone or pressure from people alone. So which Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your finances. Trust the Lord with all your head. No? Trust the Lord. Your heart is your spirit. So you look for that seems good in there. And you look for that witness on the inside of you to make, when you're making decisions, that's what you look for. Because it doesn't always make sense when you're trying to make decisions and that. So I realize it's Christmas time. Maybe you need to try, practice this right now around your Christmas table. You say, you know what seems good for me? To take all your money that I was going to give you and give it to the poor. Yeah. Well, you could do something else. I was going to give you my car this year, but I want to give it to the pastor. Or I'll give it to your older brother. Well, he gets all everything. Why does he have to get that? Well, because he's older. You know, it doesn't make sense to us. But I'm going to stop there because we're getting exhausted. The heat's flying in here. And people are getting, he's putting on his jacket. He says, this is it, man. This is it. I can only take so much this Christmas morning. I realize it's, but we want to talk about, there's something, I wanted to show you there. You can come up, guys. Over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, let the peace of God, everybody say, peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay, let the peace of God. So when you are making decisions, it has to be in peace. You got to have absolute peace in the inside of you, because some decisions that are huge, everybody say huge. Some decisions that are huge, you have to have the witness. You got to have the peace. If you're making a huge investment in something, your life, your money, your whatever it is, your ministry, your career, whatever it is, you got to have the peace of God inside of you. You can't just make a decision on how you feel. You don't make decisions alone on these things. It has to be the peace of God. Everybody stand up. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the dedication of the babies. We want to thank you for the parents, the grandparents, the siblings, the rest of the siblings, and all the family members in the church family. That we remember this day, that when we're making decisions about church, about giving to the church, we remember these things because these children need to be nurtured and blessed. They need helpers and workers. They need to see us behaving right, speaking right, acting right. That we would begin to remember that every single day. As some little eyes, some little ears are listening and looking at us. We thank you that we will speak respectfully of our leaders, not only just church leaders, but over our politicians and those that are leaders in the schools, that we will speak respectfully and bless them and pray for them and pray the best for these people and pray for our enemies and people who are not well with us, but we bless them and that we're givers and we're lovers. And we thank you this morning for every single person here that we dedicate ourselves individually and as a church to Jesus again one more time. Everybody say this. Dear God, on this day, I rededicate my life, all my resources, my time and efforts to serve you, to follow your plan and your purposes. I ask for safety and blessing for all my family and the church. We bless our city. We speak over our mayor. We ask the wisdom of God over him. We bless our premier, Doug Ford, and his leadership. We ask the blessing of God. We pray for Prime Minister Trudeau. We ask the blessing of God upon him. We ask that he would have resources and wisdom to direct our country. We thank you for the safety of everyone near and far regarding the sickness of COVID. Thank you for healing and health. In Jesus' name. Now everybody lift that hand and bless God and thank him. Oh, Father, we praise you. We thank you that we are dedicated, that we are your children. We love you. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you for sending Jesus and the Holy Spirit to direct our lives. We love you. We appreciate you, dear Lord. Thank you for a great season. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.